Good afternoon, brothers and sisters.
어떤 수고?
How are you today? Everybody good? All right, let's see. Who is anybody who is new with us today? Well, not quite new, but also new. Old, but new. Yes. Say hello to Val. Yeah. Tell us your name. I already call her.
Hello, I'm Val. Hello.
Yeah, so where's our other Val? Oh, our other Val, you're lucky. The other Val went. Beat up people. Go for the dojo, I think. Is it? Go for dojo? I think so, huh? Yeah. So how have you been, Val?
Good, but not so good. So coming back to classes.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, you are all always welcome. Yeah, the Buddha Dharma is always here. Welcome back, welcome back. Yeah. So I think Val, from way back in Koh Mun San.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that's at least 6 years back, six, maybe even longer, because towards the end you MIA once in a while already.
Yes.
Good to see you back in class. So today's topic, let me see, anybody else who is new? Nope, everybody is accounted for. Okay, so today's topic, forgiving oneself and others. Yeah. Forgiving oneself and others. As I was preparing for the topic, I was thinking, actually we covered this topic before. Yeah. But I think we should cover this topic again. Yeah, because I think this is something that can give us a lot of peace and can also rob us of our peace. If we can do it, then we can have peace. If we cannot do it, then we lose our peace. And in a way, it's an extension of the previous week's topic on the four, the last week was on four immeasurables, right? Yeah. So forgiving ourselves is a way of having compassion for ourselves. Forgiving others is a way of having compassion for others. So let's find out. So first off, there are three suttas that I thought of that may be somewhat linked to what we are looking at today. There are many other suttas, but these are the three I can think of. So one of them is the famous one from the Anguttara Nikaya, where the Buddha talk about how we can remove grudges. Yeah. So if you have a grudge against others, then, or some, I would say it applies to the person doing something to that has harmed us before. And so maybe we cannot forget, you know. Yeah. So we keep thinking about that person and what that person has done. So the Buddha advised five steps, yeah, how we can actually overcome it. Yeah. So the first two is quite straightforward. Yeah. The first two is having loving kindness and loving compassion, having compassion for that person. Yeah. So, but Buddha positioned it this way. First, you develop loving kindness for that person. And in this way, you may be able to remove the grudge you have for that person. Different translators translate it differently. So when you look for the sutta, you may not find the exact match of grudge. But the one that I saw was grudge. So, but the Buddha's very interestingly, he say, or it may not work. Just because you practice loving kindness, maybe it doesn't work. And I think this is something, a salient point to highlight. Because sometimes as we learn the Dharma, we may end up thinking that the Dharma is a panacea, you know, it's a magic bullet that can solve all our problems, you know. Like now we got problem, then we come back for class. It maybe cannot solve, you know. Then how? So the Buddha says, maybe it can work, maybe it cannot work. And if it cannot work, maybe you can try practicing compassion. Practicing compassion. Maybe this may work. Maybe I should, let me try and pull out the sutta for you. Otherwise, you all have no head, no tail. Some of you may be familiar with this particular sutta because you have heard me mention it so many times. So give me a second, let me just pull it up here. I hope it's the right one. Okay. So let me see. So the same sutra, the one I saw was translated by Venerable, I think was Venerable Bhikkhu Bodhi. It's an anthology, the one that I read last time. It was named Grudges. And then Venerable Nyanamoli, he translated as removing annoyance. Venerable Thanissaro Bhikkhu, he translates as subduing hatred. So they all translate slightly differently. So let me just go for annoyance first. So the first one, so there are five ways of removing annoyance. So the first one I mentioned, loving kindness. Second is compassion. So then the third one is equanimity. The third one is not, if you go by the four immeasurables, the third one should be appreciative joy, right? But the Buddha skipped that one. Very interesting. The Buddha skipped that. So, sometimes I think about it. Why did the Buddha skip that? Then maybe it makes sense. If you already have annoyance, how to appreciate, how to have joy for that person? Maybe a bit difficult. So the third one here is equanimity. Onlooking equanimity can be maintained in being toward a person with whom you are annoyed. This too is how annoyance with him can be removed. So there are different methods. The third one is equanimity. So that's to say, don't look at the person, you know, and then have that kind of imbalance reaction. Just as this person, likewise the other person. And as I mentioned last week, at the end of the day, it's about how we are attached to ourselves. That's why we cannot be equanimous. We are affected by people, by environment, by all kinds of things. And how does it affect us? It affects us by the way we experience. Maybe it's an agreeable experience. Maybe it's a disagreeable experience. Maybe it's a neither agreeable or disagreeable experience. And from all this, then we have our likes, dislike, and oblivion. So true equanimity is to overcome this, overcome how we experience things. Overcome doesn't mean you don't experience. Overcome means whether the experience is pleasant or unpleasant, you learn to appreciate it differently. You don't hold on to that experience and then and hold it with your dear life. And, oh, this person upset me. Ah, yeah. 10 years later, ah, 20 years later, ah. Yeah. It's like the dog poo story. Yeah. Have you all heard the dog poo story? I think most of you have heard before. Huh? How many of you have not heard before? Raise your hand. The new students haven't heard. Phyllis, Christine, Mikael. Three of you. And then Choi Kwan haven't heard before. Hey, Choi Kwan, you attended Heart Sutra before? Eh, how come you never forget? okay, so maybe later on, okay? Later, if we have enough time, I tell you all the dog poo story. Yeah, so now if you can practice this equanimity, then you can overcome it. Yeah. So if you can be equanimous in terms of your feelings, your experience of people, events, and things, then with respect to the past, with respect to the future or present, you can be okay. And if you can be okay in that way, then towards an individual, you can be equanimous. And if you are equanimous, then no more annoyance. Very quite straightforward in a way. Yeah. But maybe that doesn't work. So how? So the fourth one is very interesting. Fourth one is two parts. There are two parts to the fourth one. The first part of the fourth one is don't go and look at the person. Yeah. Do you all notice that when we don't like a person, yeah, we like to look at that person. If you like the person, it's understandable that we will pay attention to that person. But then when we don't like a person, we also pay attention to that person, you know. Whatever the person say, whatever the person do or don't do, wow, it's very glaring to us. Yeah, we keep on seeing, hey, how come this person, you see, like that again, ah, like that again. Yeah. You know why, Sifu? Maybe you may think, hey, how come Sifu is able to articulate it so well? Wow, give so much detail. You know why? Because sometimes Sifu is like that. yeah, it takes a thief to catch a thief, you know. So it takes a person who is unenlightened to know how it's like to be unenlightened. it takes a person who has defilements to know how it's like to have defilements. yeah. So, yeah. So this part is very interesting. Now, the first part, don't go and pay attention to that person. Yeah, but cannot be helped, no. Ah, our attention is just, wait, ay, this person. But now the Buddha advises us, try. Don't go and pay attention. But you think that's enough? No, not enough. You don't pay attention, that's one thing. You will think of that person. if you can stop thinking of that person, then maybe you can, you know, let the thing settle down. Yeah, settle down. So that's the fourth way. But maybe you cannot be successful. Even if you don't pay attention to that person and you don't think of that person, you're still affected. Then how? So the last line is about karma. But whenever I cite this sutta, I always want to highlight, this is not about saying, you watch out. Huh? You watch out. You harm me before. In future, you will get your just desserts. karma will come after you. this is not the way, okay? So the Buddha advice, we should reflect in this way. Owners of deeds in a person with whom you are annoyed can be concentrated tasks. So this good person is owner of his deeds. So must think of this person as a good person. Well, this is quite tough. So for a start, just read. Just read. Don't mean it, also read. Never mind, it's okay. Yeah. Heir to his deeds. His deeds are the womb from which he is born. His deeds are his kin for whom he is responsible. His deeds are his refuge. He is heir to his deeds. be they good or bad. Yeah, these two is how annoyance with him can be removed. So these are the five ways of removing annoyance, by which annoyance can be entirely removed in a bhikkhu when it arises in him. Yeah, so five approaches. So maybe you have a grudge, you have an annoyance with someone, you're unhappy with someone. Yeah, so you can remove it this way. And as this is worked on, then easier for us to forgive the person. The other sutta, but so this is about other people. Later we will address the part about forgiving ourselves. Okay, so slowly, step by step. I start on this because I think this is comparatively easier. Easier. Of course, for those who is not having a hard time forgiving yourself, you may feel that forgiving others is harder. If we have done something that we cannot forgive ourselves, I think that's a very tough thing. Yeah, that's a very tough thing. So let's come back. Second sutta. So there's this other sutta where the Buddha, so here, this one is about removing the how you feel towards that person. Okay. Then another sutta is where the Buddha say, I think that's from the Dhammapada. Yeah, the Buddha says, whoever and have this kind of thought, he in the past hurt me. He in the past harmed me. Yeah, the Buddha say, such a person will not have peace. Yeah, such a person will be unhappy, will always be disturbed, yeah, agitated. So these two suttas are in a way dealing with the same thing, but from different angles. Yeah, the first sutta is about how you feel towards that person. This second sutta is telling you the consequences. Yeah. If you keep on entertaining this kind of thoughts, what are the consequences? The Buddha is very skillful. Go from different angles. Yeah. So here is going from another angle. They are telling you the consequences if you keep on holding on to these thoughts. Yeah. When we cannot forgive a person, then we cannot think of what the person has done, what the person has done, and as a result has harmed us, right? So in this way, then does it mean that we don't know the consequences? Sometimes we know, sometimes we don't know. But sometimes, even though we know, we still want to be angry, you know? Yeah. Sometimes our friends tell us, or maybe even Sifu tell you, ask yourself, whatever is done is done. So you get upset with the person, what do you want to do? I have ever counseled a couple, who has some issue. I when I say some issue, it's trivializing it. Big issue. And so at some point I asked the wife, like, so what do you want to do? You want to destroy him? Are you then satisfied? So she actually is like say with much certainty, yes. I know the two of them, you know, and in my mind, it really pains me to hear that. Not because, this friend of mine might become hurt, but it pains me that this other person, who is also my friend, is holding on to so much pain. Yeah. She, you know, for anyone to say that, must have gone through a lot of pain. Yeah. So sometimes some words are, although correct, cannot be said by certain individuals. For example, if A harmed B, A cannot go and tell B, hey, you never learned Buddha's teaching. You continue to keep on thinking, I harm you this, I said this, you will not have peace. Cannot. Yeah, such words cannot be said by the perpetrator of harm. Okay? I would even say, even though I'm a third party, I'm not involved in at all. I am the mediator in a way. Yeah, I'm trying to counsel them. even for me to say, it's not easy, you know. Yeah, it's not easy. Easy to say, but hard for them to then act on it. Who am I to tell you your hurt should be put aside? I can say it, but is it easy? No, it's not easy. Then can I then say, no lah, yeah, you're suffering already. But as long as that person don't recognize that the cause of not forgiving the other person is more harm to themselves, yeah, based on top of what harm you have received. Until the person realizes this, there's no peace. And the person will continue to want to inflict harm, inflict pain, yeah, towards the other person. Yeah. I think in the past, I would try to tell the person, no, you should stop this. But these days, I hesitate to do this. Not because I think it's right for them to continue to want to take revenge or to, you know, be angry. But I these days, I start to feel that if I simply just go in and say, no, you should just forgive the person, I think people will feel trivialized, you know. It's like, you think you come and experience it, lah. You know, I can imagine the person in their mind, maybe they don't say it because Sifu Ma, huh? So out of respect, they don't say this. But in their mind, they may be looking at me like, you have no idea what I've gone through, you know. You know how much pain and agony over how long a period of time. Who are you to come and tell me that it's okay? Who are you to tell me that? And perhaps when someone has been hurt enough, they may feel justified to have both persons suffer. And maybe that is at that point in time what they think is the only recourse. That at least you suffer with me. Why should I suffer alone? You know? But if we take a step back and look at this statement, I want you to suffer with me. Why should I suffer alone? There's a lot of suffering involved, you know. Usually when we hear this, we feel like, wow, what a vengeful, spiteful person. But no, it's actually the person is asking, screaming for help. No, it's all about suffering. Yeah, it's all about suffering, you know. Yeah. Is there another way? Instead of two persons suffering or one person suffering, why not nobody suffer? You know? Why must it be either I suffer alone or we suffer together? Why can't it be let's not suffer at all? Again, easier said than done. But I must still say this. You know, I always tell people, 我是讲风凉话, I'm saying the easy thing. Yeah, I just, you know, talk is cheap. That's what I'm doing. Talk only. Huh? It feels like, Sifu, you're just talking about the ideal situation. Yeah, of course, like, if I don't talk about ideal situation once in a while, then how? Someone must talk about ideal situation, right? Like, imagine if now your house is on fire, okay? And it started because the neighbor's son accidentally played fire and then set your house on fire. So what do you want to do? Put out your fire, put out your house that is on fire, or put out the fire in your house. I better don't be a firefighter. Yeah. There's not even a fire, and then I cannot even make a proper sentence. Yeah. Or do you want to set your neighbor's house on fire, then you're satisfied? Hey, but my house is already burned, you know. You know how many things are already burned? And as we speak, continue to burn. My sofa gone, no. You know how nice that sofa is, no? It's now burning. You see, burn, no. Yeah, and all my photos, you see the wall, everything burn, no. Yeah, I must at least burn his living room. And while you are burning his living room, now your bedroom is also burnt. And by the time you, if let's say, I mean, like if you express our emotional states as literal fire, right? That's what we are trying to do, you know, to hurt the other person. Yeah, then set the person's house on fire. Never mind that in real life, the police and firefighters will be locking you up first. Yeah. But let's assume that the proverbial policeman and fireman is not there, and you manage to set the other person's house on fire without trying to put out your own fire. What will happen in the end? Everything will be burned to a crisp. That's all that will happen if you are successful. Does that then bring back all the things you cherish in your house? It doesn't. In fact, you may end up losing more, as I said, because by the time you realize your house is on fire, maybe only part of the house. But instead of putting in your effort to put out the fire, if you're going to set fire on the other person's house, your house is going to continue to burn, and you end up letting your whole house burn. Let me suggest a not so enlightened approach. a rather, if I may say so, worldly approach. If you're going to set fire on people's house, for clarity, you know, and in case any civil servants come and watch this, they may be mistaken thinking that I'm encouraging arson. This is a metaphor, okay? Whoever watch this, this is a metaphor. We are not setting anybody's house on fire, okay? In no uncertain terms, we are not doing that, okay? But in case, in the proverbial sense, in the metaphorical sense, allegorical sense, you are like hell-bent on setting the other person's house on fire, at least do yourself a favor. Put out your own fire first. I mean, it makes more sense, right? If you're going to want to hurt people, at least save yourself first. And make sure before you set fire on the other side, make sure you wear protective gear. Okay? Then you can go and... yeah. Chances are, after you put out fire on your side and you wear all the protective gear, maybe, I'm hoping, maybe you may think twice about setting fire on other people. Because when you look at the damages that is done after putting out all the fire, you must still ask yourself, even then, if you set fire on the other person's house, whatever is burnt already. Yeah? But let's say you go ahead and do it. Let's just look at all the different things. And then we go and set fire. So then what happened? The other person's house on fire, right? Now the other person also, maybe that person listened to Sifu's Dhamma talk, right? Then put out his fire. Then come and set fire on your house again. Then, Chinese have a saying for this. Yuan yuan xiang bao. Alvin. Yeah. Alvin, Yuan Yuan Xiang Bao. Then Alvin Chan. You're supposed to follow the second part.
Well, Sibu, my Chinese not so power.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone?
Yeah, you ask.
Very good. He Shi Liao. I'm sorry, Alvin. I didn't mean to put you in a spot. I thought this is something that we watch in many TV series, movies. So you can see, whoever is watching this or you all who are present, you see that my talks are never orchestrated one. So you all never know when I'll call you out and ask you to finish an idiom. For our more friends, I'll give you the translation, okay? Yuan yuan xiang bao. Yeah, so grudge, mutually inflict. I'll give you the literal translation. Sounds very funny. Right? Yeah, grudge on grudge, you inflict on each other. Yeah, or you inflict mutual inflict infliction because of grudges upon grudges, 何时了? When will this end? Yeah. Today you set fire on his house. Tomorrow he set fire on your house. Then what happened? Then the budget for the firefighters go up. But jokes aside, I've sat down with too many couples. Yeah. I've sat down with too many couples. And one question I often ask them is, do you remember how it's like when you all first met each other? Yeah. What happened to that love you all have for each other? Yeah. And I say this because this is really a question that we should ask ourselves, right? Yeah. And to me, this applies to all of you who are in a relationship as well. Yeah. Not cursing you, okay? Yeah. But whether the love or feelings for one another go this way or that way depends on what we put into this garden of love. Do you put in ambiguity? Do you put in seeds of doubts? Do you put in words of nice, you know, hurtful, snide comments? Do you put in, or do you put in attention to how the other person feel? Depending on what you put in, then eventually it goes this way or it goes that way. It definitely didn't just go overnight from, oh, I love you, you love me, let's get married, to suddenly let's get divorced. Yeah. But today's topic is not just about couples. Or not just about couples. So the third sutta I want to share with you all is, so in case if we decide we want to forgive the other person, then what can we do? The Buddha gave, you know, just now how to remove grudges is one of them, right? But there's something that is even more tangible that the Buddha actually suggested, yeah, or taught us. Yeah, so there are two parts to it. One is to give gifts to that person that you have grudges towards. Ah, very interesting. You have grudges towards that person, you give gifts towards that person. You help to soften that person's heart and your heart. Chances are, if you have grudge against that person in all likelihood will not be so happy with you also. But sometimes not so easy, huh? Not so easy. And in case if that person offer you something, that means the person actually extend a hand. Yeah. Come on, let's bury the hatchet. Let's be friends. Yeah. We should be gracious and accept it. Huh? So after this talk, any of you want to give me any gifts? Yeah, I accept lunch, Dana. Oh, later I receive a lot of gifts, then I know, wow, I have so many people is not happy with me. Oh no, is that why I get so many lunch done all this while? Some of them even do it weekly. I still have grudge towards the food. I must offer him more food. So these are the three suttas I want to share. The last one is particularly interesting. Yeah. Because it also, if you look at it in the reverse way, right, then we can tell whether we have grudge towards someone. When people offer us food, offer us something, whatever it is, you know, like sometimes colleagues go overseas, then they, I mean, now nobody go overseas, huh? But when they go overseas and then they buy back some goodies, you know, like some sweets or what, do we readily accept it or do we hesitate? And when we say we hesitate, easy for us to come up with all kinds of excuses. Oh no lah, I don't like sweets. If it's your favorite colleague, that friend get you solid bag of sugar, you also accept. You'll find some use for it. I can assure you. Yeah. Like, for example, if Shifu offer you a bag of sugar, wouldn't you accept it? Say yes. Say. What a dictator monk. Then later, all of you reject. Sorry, your gift of sugar has been rejected. So this sutta, you know, you can learn from two ways. One is what you can do. The other one is from how you behave towards others, you can check yourself. Yeah. Are you having something not so nice towards one another? So, okay, first part of the talk is over, but we don't have intermission. Sifu don't believe in intermission. Just continue. Second part is forgiving ourselves. Oh, wait, let me see. Li Ying has been writing quite a bit of things. That was what? Oh, this one is a bit sensitive. I almost read it out, but the first line. Should I read? Don't read. The first line better don't read, because can be seen in a negative light. Yeah. As much as I don't subscribe to other religion and towards some specific extremists in some religion, I openly say, please don't do that. But I don't think it's nice for us to to bring up certain things like our displeasure about this group or that group. So I'm going to just filter off some. Okay, Albert says, so Shifu, does bad, evil people really exist, or just people with more or less pain, suffering? Well, we can say that bad people do exist. But in Buddhism, we say that they are not inherently bad. They are bad because of conditions and circumstances. Yeah. Given the right conditions, as long as you're not enlightened, you can be bad also. Yeah. You can be bad also. And here I'm not even talking about how people interpret our actions. Okay. Yeah. We can genuinely do bad things. Yeah. Given the right conditions. What are the conditions? When we are blinded by our ego, for example, blinded by greed, hatred, and delusion, blinded by desire, yeah, blinded by all the different kind of negative mental states, yeah, then we may, at that moment, act in a bad way, act in a way that most people on the street will say, oh, that's very evil. You know? In that way, we can say those who have done evil things, or people say, oh, that's a bad person. In Buddhism, we say, yes, but it's still dependent on conditions. The person is not inherently bad. And I would go one step further to say, in that sense, even Adolf Hitler is not inherently bad. Yeah. I'm not saying he's good. I'm not saying genocide is right. I'm not saying that. I'm saying there are circumstances and reasons. It doesn't justify it, but it can help us understand, and by understanding, try to prevent such things from happening. Yeah. Oh. So this is not about saying it's right. And the same goes for forgiveness. Again, I repeat this. Forgiveness is not saying that that person is right, whether it's forgiving others or ourselves. Forgiveness is about recognizing that there was wrong. And further recognizing that not forgiving doesn't right the wrong. It just makes our today and tomorrow wrong as well. We deserve a right day, a peaceful day. We deserve that. Don't let our past, whether it's wronged by others or ourselves, continue to taint our present and our future. But I don't say that we should just frivolously forgive, especially towards ourselves. Like if a person today do stupid things, tomorrow still do stupid things, sometimes it may be harder for us to forgive that person. Huh? You forgive, then slap you again. Forgive, slap again. Yeah. Should you still forgive? You should not just forgive. You should forgive and run. Don't forgive and stay there and let the person slap you up. Yeah, where you can. If you cannot, call social service, call family service. Yeah, or call Sifu. Sifu has Taekwondo almost black belt. Almost. Oh, almost. Yeah, I managed to injure a black belter not because I'm good, but because I was not good. Cannot control myself. not suggesting violence as a solution, okay? Otherwise, this talk is going all over the place. Yeah, so back to Albert's question. So badness or evenness is dependent on conditions. Yeah, and what are the conditions? Part of it is pain and suffering. Yeah. Now, this is a part which probably need a bit of reflection. It's easy to see when someone is crying to say, oh, this person is having pain, this person is having suffering. Hard to feel the person's pain or suffering when you clearly see the person being haughty, lording over others, and abusing his or her power, and, you know, doing things that directly hurt others. Hard to see that there is pain or suffering there. But ask yourself, think of the last time you have a bit of a meltdown, yeah, where you lost your cool and you blasted at people verbally. Let's not have to go to the physically blast out, okay? Let's just say verbally. Or maybe sometimes we physically express our frustration or anger by slamming the door. Maybe we don't slam people against the wall, okay? But we slam the door, and maybe when we, you know, pull the table or chair, you know, a bit rougher than usual. Ask yourself, do we do that on a good day or a bad day? Probably on a bad day, right? If you wake up in the morning on Sunday, all things going smoothly, yeah, and then you know that Sunday you are having your favorite activity, the SGC. This is called 老王卖瓜，自卖自夸. Later I explain to you what that is. Yeah. So, would you then decide, I'm gonna attend SGC and lose my temper? You wouldn't, what, right? But if Sifu asks you to follow up on an idiom and you cannot make it, Alvin steady, Alvin steady. Yeah, Alvin cool as a cucumber. Eh, Alvin disappeared. Yeah, so if you think about it, right, just as we become more aggressive verbally or physically only when we are agitated. And when we are agitated, are we happy? No. When we are angry, are we happy? No. Are we suffering when we are angry? Actually, we are. It's just that when we are angry, we cannot see that we are suffering. It's not easy. I don't say we cannot, but not easy to see that. And harder to see that people are suffering when they are angry and you are on the receiving end of that person's verbal diarrhea. Harder to see that person suffering. Yeah. But if we truly practice loving kindness and compassion, then we are more attuned to people's suffering. Then when you see the person behaving in a way that is maybe rather curt, maybe even aggressive, you see suffering instead of seeing your own suffering. Instead of just seeing, oh, this person hurt me. This person said those things, embarrassed me. this person insulted me. This person took my role in the company and whatever, okay? All we see is our suffering. Yeah. But if we practice loving kindness and compassion regularly, then we are more attuned to seeing the other person's suffering. Yeah. I say this not because I'm so good. Occasionally. Yeah, only occasionally. You can ask those students who have been learning from me. Only occasionally. Occasionally, something go wrong in my mind, then I can see people suffering. My normal days, I cannot see. I can only talk. don't be mistaken. I can only talk. Yeah. But why can I talk about this? Because besides the normal days where I don't see, and besides the days where something go wrong and I see, there are days where nothing is going on, then I think about it. Maybe we can say reflect on it, contemplate maybe a bit. Then I see, oh, I have a problem. I don't see. Yeah. Also, don't be mistaken. Oh, Sifu is such a cultivator. No, I'm not. If I can be called cultivator, I'm a lousy cultivator, very lousy one. Yeah, that's why I choose to take this path now, because I know I'm lousy. Not like you all are so confident, you know? You're so confident of yourself. Like, imagine, now you have to go and jump off the building. Not jump off the building, jump off a plane, okay? Skydive. And then you have a choice. Either just take the plane, wear the parachute and just jump, or go for many training. Yeah, do it full time. Jump again and again and again and again. Yeah. So which one would you choose? What you are choosing is you all choose to just take the parachute and just take the plane. I know I cannot make it. So I choose this path. This path forced me to have to keep going for jumping. And you have to go read a lot of manual, how to jump, how to pull the cord, when to pull, how to regulate my breathing, how to move my hand, I don't spin, how do I turn, how do I balance. So, yeah, because I'm not so good. So in case if you all want the easier way out, let me know. Sign up. Okay, Li Ying, Li Ying said, okay, don't read this out or else later kena persecuted. okay. So I don't read out the first. I suppose you are referring to the first one now. Okay, I don't read that one. Well, luckily today, something wrong here. I don't just read it out. Usually I just I read out. Okay, but the second one, I can read. Second one. But what if the person is a backstabber? Backstabber. You know what is a backstabber? Instead of scratch your back, they stab your back. Behind your back, yeah, say things or do things. You think that backstabber, basically, the key thing about backstabber is in front of you appear to be a friend. But behind, and it actually enemy. Yeah? So personal experience observations in office politics. Oh, yes. Yeah. When I was in the corporate world, I was not a backstabber. I was a front stabber. When I'm not happy with you, I will tell you in your face. Yeah. I will just tell you straight in your face. I even told my boss. Those who were my bosses, see it. Yeah. I even told my boss. Earlier in the meeting, you mentioned this and that. Please don't do that. I don't appreciate that. So I don't backstab you by go in your face. Don't do that again, please. I'm quite polite also. I say, please don't do that again. Yeah. So what if the person is a backstabber? Okay, let's take a step back, okay? So that the person don't continue to stab us. Backstabber. What do you think backstabbers are trying to achieve?
I think because they are maybe because they see us as a threat.
So when people see a threat, are they in a calm state or not so calm state?
Probably. Not so calm lah.
Not so calm. Do you think they feel at ease or not at ease?
Not at ease, but it doesn't make sense though. I mean, yeah.
No.
I mean, especially when you're very senior.
No, it, especially what?
I mean, especially if you're very senior, it doesn't make
Especially,
sense. No, I mean,
oh.
if the person is very senior, that doesn't really make sense because they are like
Ah.
quite a number of levels above. Yeah.
That's because you are thinking logically. And that's because you are not the one who is who feels threatened. I agree completely with you. It doesn't make sense. But I have seen people who are many levels above me who also do stupid things like this.
I think maybe because you're very outstanding, or you really have, you already are somebody that they feel that you have the potential to outclimb them. That's why. Like I heard from older colleagues, they say one lah. Other friends lah.
So we can do go in two ways. One way is to go the Dharma way. The Dharma way means we try to understand the person is also feeling anxious, the person is suffering, and so on and so forth, as we have gone through earlier. Yeah. And if you can appreciate that, then you can see that while we don't agree with the action, we don't say it's correct, and it is unjustified, but we can understand why the person would act in that way. It still doesn't make it right. Okay. In terms of office politics, then it's no longer just about emotions. Or rather, it shouldn't be about emotions. Okay. Yeah. So this may come off sounding quite strange. My approach to counseling people for work is always this. When you go to work, remember you are there to do one and one thing, get the job done. Not suggesting that your office colleagues are all your enemies, but you shouldn't go in thinking that you are going to kindergarten to make friends. This is the cynical monk's view of work life. Okay. And that is why, personally, I appreciate the friends I managed to garner, the friendships that came my way. Because it's not a given. In primary school, in school, to have friends, that's almost like a given. And even then, maybe not so easy, right? Then much, much more at work. They are not obliged to be your friend. That's why you call them colleagues, right? And that's why only when they have proven themselves, only when they have gone beyond the call of duty as a colleague, that they actually look out for you beyond what is required for them. And you observe that over time, then you start to hang out outside of work and you start to share more of your personal life. And they likewise share their personal life. And then you become friends. And at some point, you will find that when you introduce your colleague to other friends, you will say, "This is my best pal from work," instead of saying, "This is my colleague." So to me, this is the defining moment where you know this is your friend, not just your colleague. And
But it's like,
the fact that this happens is because colleagues by default are not obliged to be your friend. Now, before I pass it over to you again. Does it then mean that it is a granted that they can and should backstab us? No, that's not being professional, so. Yeah, and that's why my earlier statement, we need to remember to not put in our emotions in this aspect. When you get backstabbed, oftentimes we feel betrayal, and that's emotion, you know? And that's about emotions already. Of course, granted, cannot be helped, lah. Cannot be helped. Yeah. But once you get emotional about it, then oftentimes our judgment become clouded, you know. And you cannot see things clearly. Short of going into specifics, I would say, you know, the famous American saying, "Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me." Is there a fool me three times? Yeah. So at most, the person can backstab you once. Yeah. Then the next question is, should you then do something about it? So here, I want to wrap up this part about forgiveness or not forgiveness with one condensed story. This is a story of a devotee who is a taxi driver. And by the time this happened, or this came to my knowledge, this person has already gone through 3 or 4 rounds already. It started off with him receiving a call for a taxi pickup. When he arrived, the lady happened to be Amor lady. Nothing against Amor, but I'm just telling it as it is. The Amor lady had flagged down another cab. And so when he stopped, he basically insisted that, hey, you called me, you should take my cab. So far, so good. Nothing wrong with that. But then when the Amor lady, because the Amor lady already put the luggage into the other cab, so she asked him to help. He was not very willing to do it. Yeah. Because he was upset, like, hey, you call me and then you still flag down another cab. So far with me. At this point, all he has to do is, you know, just do what you're supposed to do. Get the luggage, put into your cab, set off, send the person to the destination, and be done with it. Right? Simple. He didn't. At this point, we can say that nothing much has really happened, really. There's no loss on his side. Not much of a loss, if any, on the lady's side also. But he didn't keep to that. He spent the trip ranting about how she shouldn't, you know, have flagged down another cab. And then after that, the lady filed a complaint about his attitude. Like basically, who wants to take a ride and then get verbal diarrhea from the driver, right? Yeah. Not suggesting who is right and wrong, but this is what happened. Okay, so far so good. Very quickly, it escalated to a complaint. So the company, the cab company, you know, review it and then ask him to apologize. Yeah. To me, it's as simple. Okay, apologize, be done with it, right? Yeah. I know some may feel like, well, that's not so unjustified. That's not so justified. Yeah. Like, just because I'm the driver doesn't mean I'm a cab driver doesn't mean that you can just, you know, like, boss me around or, you know, things like that. Yes. But what is the cause for justice? Because this didn't end here. He, in order to exact justice on his own, because the cab company seemed to cite the customer, my customer is always right. I don't necessarily agree with that. But in this case, it's hard to say who is really right and wrong. But the fact that he rented the along the trip, that is just bad service. So he, through the system, he called her using a public phone and then threatened her. Now it's no longer a simple thing as service, you know, bad service. She escalated to the police that she received a death threat. Yeah. And then police, Singapore is very good. Everything is locked. Don't worry. Everything is locked. You call from a public phone, there is some CCTV pointing at you. Don't worry. You are on candy camera. So they trace, say, oh, this guy. Call him in. So he went in. At that point in time, the police wanted to help him, sort of, not help him, but the police look at it, say, she is saying she wants you to apologize. Now that she found out it's you, she wants you to apologize, to write a statement that you did that and you apologize unequivocally and so on and so forth. And she will not press charges. What happened? You see, from the road junction, it could have stopped there. It didn't stop there. Talk, 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 all the way until he's at the police station. And you know what? Sometimes when you watch movies, you must know which country that movie is based on. He must have watched one too many movies. He tell the police inspector, so are you going to charge me? If you're not going to charge me, I'm going back. Yeah, maybe in US you can see that. I don't know. Yeah, last I checked, in US nowadays, people can also get charged for anything, you know. Yeah, unless you happen to be, I don't know, of a certain profile. Yeah. But I don't know enough about US politics or, you know, criminal cases. Yeah. But why would they say that in Singapore? So he was charged with something. Yeah. I'm sure it's a justified thing to be charged. Yeah. And then he was detained for one night. After that, the police didn't press further. And he's basically back to square one. And all he has to do is, okay, fine. I've signed the papers, be done with it. Yeah. Yes, there's a record, but it didn't have to be here, you know. You think it end here? No, this one is 物所南洋之风雨同舟. A lot of chapters, you know. Then he decided to write an email, write to the police, write to MP, write to all over the place, and complain about the police inspector. That was last I heard. I don't know whether he, yeah. And in the camp, I asked him, I said, like, how much do you earn in a day? And he said, average after rental, after gas and everything, about 100 a day. So I said, and not to look down on him, but last I checked, cab drivers don't really have a lot of money to, you know, fight lawsuits, you know. So I asked him, out of this $100, how much do you intend to spend on your family? How much do you intend to spend on yourself? And how much do you intend to spend on your law case, lawsuit, if it's now that you have come to this stage? He said, I'm willing to throw in everything. I must, yeah, like he has this like axe to grind. He has this like, I must have my justice. And I'm like, really? You're going to throw away everything? Because the $100 later, I told him, I said, it's like 100% of your life, you know. You have already lost some of your life to this whole thing. I don't say that you are totally wrong. I don't say that the other person is totally right. Let's assume that he experienced an injustice. My question is, if you experience this much injustice, the amount of effort you put in to get back that justice, if you put in this much effort to get back the justice, that means you must get back this much justice, you know, because this will add up into the injustice, no? The cost to you to get back the justice is added to the injustice you have already experienced. A lot of people forget that, you know. And the worst thing is, many people end up losing even more than the injustice they had to begin with. I'm all for justice. Trust me. I'm so all for justice, I shouted at a captain when I was in NS. I'm a person who, when I was much younger, I really don't tolerate nonsense, no, regardless of what you have up here. 3 bars, so what? I shouted at corporals, I shouted at sergeant, all the way to staff sergeant to captain. I'm very thankful that they are so kind and gracious to forgive me for my impudence, youthful impudence. Yeah. And again, I say, it's because I'm like that. That's why I'm telling you, don't be like that. You may not be as lucky as me to meet someone who will say, I just want to teach you a lesson. Next time, you don't know who you'll meet. Yeah, I always remember when I was in Taiwan, I also gave it to a staff sergeant. Imagine you're NS now. You get shot at a staff sergeant. So the staff sergeant insisted going through the procedure. And if he enacted the procedure, I'll be charged, you know. Yeah, and all likelihood, it may affect my entry into NTU. But when I got into the room in full uniform, and then, you know, pantang kaki, and then, oh, he gave me a good dressing down, half an hour, scold me. And he tell me, yeah, he tell me, I'm not going to charge you because I don't want to ruin your future. But I want you to really think carefully. Do you think what you have done is correct for you to just... Yeah, I'm so grateful to those individuals. I mean, honestly, if you turn it around, I don't know whether I'll be so forgiving, you know. I'm glad I met people who are so forgiving. So I hope by teaching more people to be forgiving, next life, in case I'm stupid again, then the higher chance I meet them who are forgiving. But back to the question, what price justice? So don't be mistaken thinking that, oh, Sifu is a coward, you know, just want people to not fight. No, I don't subscribe to the Chinese saying, 万事以和为贵, that whatever happens, harmony is the most important. I don't believe in that. Yeah. So it's not that I subscribe to that, so I'm saying, aiyah, just forgive lah, don't fight lah. No, sometimes we should still put across our point. But you have to ask yourself, what are the consequences? And will you get back adequate justice for the effort you put in, plus the injustice you have gone through? Forgiveness doesn't make that person right. It doesn't, in many cases, even undo the injustice, but at least you don't suffer more. I wish it would be that simple, but I know that it's not easy when you're on the receiving end. And especially when we are the one who has done something that we find difficult to forgive ourselves. We have done it. We cannot undo what has been done. The one thing we can do is, before we forgive ourselves, put in determination to not do it again. And to me, this is an ongoing process. An ongoing process of making that firm determination that we don't do the same wrong again. To remind ourselves again and again of why it's wrong and why we are making this determination. And within that, perhaps one day we may find forgiveness for ourselves. I will not be addressing further comments. I'd like to devote the last 15 minutes to a special guest I have for today. This is a really unorchestrated one. So please join me to welcome Henry Bay. Henry, Dong Kan Chong.
Okay, yeah. My mic is off now. Amitofo. Amitofo and Namo Buddhaya, yes. Bante, and yes. Everybody else.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on.
So I invited Henry in today because I have come across a few messages from different sources of some good work that he's doing. And I thought I want to give some airtime to what he's doing, not just what he's doing, but previously he has actually messaged me personally and shared with me some projects that he was doing. I know Henry from way back when he was at BF. I remember when I was over at the Koming San, and then him and some of the others came and visit me in the Buddhist, in Koming San. And then I think perhaps also at the Buddhist library. Yeah, but too many years ago. Yeah. And I've been and on and off here and there. Yeah, we have collaborated on different Dharma programs. And a few months back, I think, he messaged me and shared with me the dire situation that other countries are in, and he has actually asked whether whether there'll be possibility of chipping in to help out in some of the programs to get oxygen concentrator, to get, I think, masks and different things. Okay, the details, I leave it to him, okay? So, unfortunately, during that time, I must confess, okay? He's very patient. He messaged me, then I just drop a line and say like, oh, I'll reply you later. Then later, that become never, as many of you have experienced. Because sometimes I reply, you know what happens sometimes? I reply to people in my mind. Only to realize a few weeks later or a few months later, oh, I didn't reply. The best thing is sometimes when I go to the chat, right, the text that I typed is actually there. I just didn't press enter. So despite all that, it was very understanding. And he shared with me the progress. Yeah. But those projects has, I think, come to an end, right? And in recent past few weeks, I received messages from Karen, yeah, who is a close friend of Buddhist Library. And I think Henry has collaborated with the Buddhist Library recently to bring awareness to the project. And it's, the gist of it is to come up with some contribution to help out with the Sri Lankan situation. So I'm going to hand over to Henry to just share with you all a bit of an overview. And then later on, if you all have any thoughts or questions, you all can ask. Okay? Henry, all yours.
Thank you very much, Venerable. Indeed. I know you've been very busy, but I also understand the intention, which is the most important of all. So, thank you very much. So now we meet again on this project.
Yes.
Okay. This is a very difficult time, as everybody know, but yeah, we are fortunate in Singapore that we're quite blessed, relatively safe, and we get vaccines and all this. But in some other countries, they are facing not only a health issue but economic issue as well. So governments are digging the reserve and getting at the bottom of the barrel, they're scraping, you know.
Yes.
And for India, it's a big country. So I began a project about 3 months back, and the oxygen concentrators were delivered July, and most have been delivered. Some are still being delivered because now in India, subcontinent, it's a rainy period, rainy season. The priority for my partners on the ground, which is IBC, International Buddhist Confederation, is to deliver these to the remote medical facilities in India, in the mountains and such. So, of course, at this time, the rainy season, it becomes a bit more precarious than normally. So it slowed down a bit now, but a good number has been sent. And if any of you wish to check out some of the progress report and the photographs, especially that I posted, it's on my Facebook. I'm not sure whether you can access it. But I make as many as possible public, so you all can either view in or I can add you.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Perhaps I can also ask the volunteers to copy this down.
Oh, sorry, this is the wrong. Okay, sorry, this is not. This is a doctor. This is a doctor in Sri Lanka that is coordinating that I'm supposed to add to my Facebook, so he knows how to report back to me on the progress for Sri Lanka.
Okay,
sorry.
Scratch that.
Scratch that, you know. So if you get that, you get somebody in Sri Lanka instead. Hold on.
Okay.
How do I do this?
How come your name changed to Kasun Rambu Kuela? Kuele?
No, not quite. This is a boo-boo in the... Okay.
It's like, is this some kind of like AI, you know, like actually you are a Sri Lankan posing as Henry Bay? The voiceover is very good.
Very likely me past life, you know, I don't know. But okay, I will send mine again. I'm not sure whether it can be done. But so for those who, one of the problems with this style of aid is really people want to know where is it going, how is it being handled, and what, you know, is it a scam, and will the right people get it? So let me go down in order of what I have.
Would you have anything that you would like to share screen to?
The Facebook will show the photograph progress for India, but what I can do is I can put on this chat the notes that I've written for the appeal letter I've written. So while I'm chatting, you all can just like multitask and take a look. Just a quick run through. I did the India just for confidence for you all. I did the India one just recently. And they were actually, our partners on the ground was IBC, International Buddhist Confederation. I happened to be one of the 12 vice presidents, because the Indians are very gracious. They want to include everybody, you know. So they had like 8 presidents. But my point really is they were doing a good job on the ground. So IBC chapter in Malaysia gave me the connection and asked me if I'm interested to bring to Singapore and for Singaporeans. And I thought it's something that I could not walk away from, because everything was arranged. The supply chain from China,